Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen, Tuesday, October 7th, 2025, 6:30 p.m. I'd like to first call this meeting to order and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry.
No problem.
Okay, thank you. Everybody get back to their stations. Mathers, we have Mather Clark is not here tonight. So is there number three on the docket is public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Dave, we're good? Okay.
I would like to bring up something that's not on the agenda.
Okay.
And it's it concerns the letter of resignation that we received from our board clerk.
Yep.
And the supporting email thread that she also forwarded. I'm really dismayed at how that all came out. 8 months of her very politely, very firmly, very directly, very cordially communicating with the Board of Selectmen's office about not getting paid on time. And the response was really disconcerting. One response was, well, it looks like you're only going to get paid once a month. And then there was finger pointing at the finance department for, you know, the timing of the invoices, and our board clerk's responses to all of that were very polite, and she asked, can we work this out? And it wasn't worked out. And I would like to know how that happened and what's going to be done in the future to prevent that from happening again.
And is there a way to reverse the resignation and get Casey back, quite frankly, because this never should have happened?
And she's fabulous.
We all agree. So, I read her resignation. That's as far as I read. Okay. I have no idea.
Yeah. What
there were three or four emails that were attached. I think.
Yeah, I've got them here. If you'd like to.
If you want to discuss it, you should add it to the agenda.
Well, then I make a motion to add it to the add this discussion to the agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Are you an aye?
Yeah. No.
You're a no?
No.
Okay, so that's five yes, one no, and one absent. Bob Mora is a no.
Where would you like to add it, Mr. Tim?
Under 3B. So we can bring it up now. Unfortunately, I haven't read it. So
would you like these, Rodney?
Not right down to okay. Read them first. No.
Okay.
My understanding is that the time cards come in. So if you look in our accounts payable today.
It's not a time card, it's an invoice.
It's an invoice that comes in. And the invoice that's in here is dated from when? I don't know when it is, but find it. But so she works for, 2 weeks ago. She gives us the invoice. It takes a week to get into the payable?
It depends on the timing of the meeting and the timing of the invoice. So the AP that you're looking at tonight is only covering things that went to finance by noontime last Tuesday. So anything that came in from noontime last Tuesday to the finance department, it isn't going to go forward until the next AP, which is 2 weeks from today. So that can be as much as a 3-week process from the time we get to the invoice to the time that it gets seen by the Board of Selectmen. And then the Board of Selectmen approve it, the minutes get done, the minutes get posted, and most often those checks go out. So the checks that you approve today will likely go out of the mail on Friday. And then unfortunately, Casey lives quite a ways away from here, and that may take as much as 6 or 8 days to get from here to where she lives. And so it's roughly a month from the time that she does meeting to the time that she gets paid.
But if she's submitting invoices twice monthly because she has more than one, and I don't know that she is. I mean, Casey can speak for herself.
She's very good about submitting her invoices right after she completes the minutes.
Right. So even if it's a month after an invoice comes in, you assume that if she's submitting two invoices, she should be getting two checks a month. But it sounds, based on her emails, that she's only getting one. Do we do ACH payments or no?
We do not.
That's something we should probably look into working on when we, as part of our improvements to our finance process.
That's correct. Yes. And of course, this
is different from direct deposit.
This whole thing started because she, I'm not sure if she was paid as an employee, but we don't have the capacity to pay out of state employees because you have to cover all whatever Arizona's taxes and whatever else, that you can't just send them a lump sum. Mm-hmm. They want their workers' comp, they want their this and that. So she's being paid as a 1099 sub, which she is. So her check then just goes through the normal routine. Right.
But given that we knew about her dissatisfaction, why didn't we make an exception to her, to the processes, just for her? It's not hard for Jill to put in one extra thing into the AP if it comes in between last Tuesday and today, quite frankly.
I don't know. I haven't had that conversation with Jill.
Right. I guess I'm asking why.
And I know there was the comment about she's an independent contractor, so you can't do direct deposit. But, the clerk made every effort to, in her last email, especially saying, can you try this? Can you try this? Can you try this? And it was not, I don't think there was any proper response from anybody at the administrative level.
I think Kathy was responding verbal. Was she calling her? What?
I don't know if they had phone conversations.
Now, Casey says no. Okay.
I mean, it's just a problem. It's a problem. We're losing an excellent employee because of a process. And that is that's the worst reason to lose a good employee.
Absolutely.
It's because we couldn't squeeze her into our process. We should have, the administration should have reached out immediately in January when she started sending these emails and saying, what can we do? Let's work on a solution. And instead it was January pointing fingers, this office didn't get the invoices, we think they did. Da, 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 da. And it's and now we're losing this excellent employee. So I'd like to know what's going to be done to keep this from happening in the future.
So first of all, I'm going to make a clarification. She is not an employee.
Right.
She is an independent contractor. I think Casey is absolutely amazing. She does a lot of work for us. She does it very well. She's one of the best board clerks that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And we've articulated that on multiple occasions. The issue we have is she is an independent contractor. We can't treat her any differently than any other independent contractor. That would not be fair or appropriate. I have a set of guidelines that I have to go by, and those guidelines have to be the same for everybody.
So she did raise that in one of her emails, and she specifically said that Patrice gets paid in basically each AP report, and she's correct. So why are we not managing to get her a check at the same frequency that we're getting Patrice a check?
All I can tell you is that when her invoices come in, we process them that day, absolutely that day, so that they get over there as quickly as possible. There are issues that are happening outside of the administration office that I have not been able to put my finger on as of yet.
Yeah, I mean, the appropriate thing, quite frankly, to do would have been to have a joint meeting between the administrator's office, the finance team, and the contractor to figure things out together.
Yeah. It doesn't look like... Go ahead.
If I could say something, it doesn't happen all the time. But I have an example of my check on May 8th. It has payments from... This was May, I got the check. A payment for February 4th, a payment for March 12th, a payment for March 25th, a payment for April 1st, a payment for April 22nd, another for April 7th, a number for another for April 8th. This is my concern. I understand I have to wait a few weeks for it to get on the AP report, but I got absolutely no payment in January, and then I didn't get paid for February, March, and April until May. That's my issue.
Thank
and I don't understand why I can't be, you know, why it can't always be consistently paid every 2 weeks. I understand it takes a week for mail. It's unfortunate that can't be electronic, because if they were mailing the check the very next day after it was approved, I would at least get it by the end of the week, most likely. But as you just said, they don't mail them till Friday. So it's actually almost up to 2 weeks sometimes. So those are my concerns. I do love working here. I understand you have the processes that you have in place. The invoice system, I think that's an issue, because there's a chain of custody to it that I can't see where the disconnect is, and then the finger pointing does happen. And there's no explanation as to why it wasn't on the report. I complained this last time because I had all my meetings and during the first week of September, they were all the invoices were in by September 12th, and it wasn't on the September 23rd AP report. There was plenty of time, and I submitted them. I don't know what happens to them after that, and there's no assurance that it's going to be on the AP report. So that's where the frustration came in. And Friday, I saw the meeting with no AP report, and I couldn't verify if my payments were going to be on there. And that was just it for me. I had to wait until the day before. It's like, oh, well, it'll be a surprise if I'm going to get paid for the meetings, 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Okay. Anything else? Any other comments?
I still haven't heard that something is going to be done to keep this from happening again. And that's right. How are we going to hire another clerk? Are we going to say, well, we're not really sure if you're going to get paid once or twice a month? We're not really sure.
You have to work in Connecticut.
No, that's not an acceptable answer, quite frankly.
I don't have the answer. I don't
issue with communication, whether it's from the administrative department or the finance department. The buck stops with the two of you, because you guys are ultimately in charge, and this should have been sorted out.
So, Casey, send me your bills. I'll bring them up. I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say?
Well, I already said communication between the departments is what should have happened. Right. So what we're looking to understand is, if you have someone who is, one, repeatedly coming to you with concerns, it's made a priority and has eyes from the two of you as the people in charge, and two, that you'll convene a meeting to bring all interested parties together to sort it out before it becomes such an issue like this. That's what we're looking to hear.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we have a personnel subcommittee?
It never met.
That wasn't the question.
We do. I don't know who's on it, but
I believe the personnel, this should go right to the personnel subcommittee.
Yep. I don't think this is a continued conversation for now.
I agree with that. So there should be a subcommittee of the board to see if they can come up with a solution to the problem and reach out to Casey with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the personnel subcommittee is the appropriate committee, because she's not personnel.
We do not have a contractor subcommittee. So I would disagree with you and say that if it is the board's wish, then it could go to that subcommittee, because she acts as a contractor on paper. She is performing a task that could be performed if we had one on staff as personnel. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we send this to the personnel subcommittee, and that be reviewed before the next meeting, which would be a full meeting of the board, not the AP meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Yeah.
Six.
Just because yes, I that's six. I fully concur, but that's the proper way
okay.
of doing it.
Six yes, and Mather Clark is still absent. So personnel subcommittee shall meet.
And prior to that meeting, can we please get a copy of the current fiscal policies and procedures?
Nope.
Nope. Well, then I'll use the old then I'll use the old version that I have.
Okay.
From somewhere.
All right.
Deep in.
It hasn't changed since we approved it.
I don't think
we this board, we made changes after an audit 2 years ago.
Oh, so
this,
before I was
this
on the board
approved it, and it has not changed.
Okay.
Okay.
No, there's been no change.
Yeah. So that was probably before.
Okay. 250th committee discussion. Was there someone supposed to be here for this?
John was supposed to be here. He called just before our 5 o'clock meeting, and that's the notes that we gave Kathy.
John Toomey can't make meeting. Arlene may be here.
I would ask that we postpone this. We hold this number four until later in the agenda and revisit it if someone appears.
I'm good with that.
Need a motion, please.
You need a motion?
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we hold item number four and revisit it later in the agenda if someone does appear.
Second motion. Five more seconds.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes. Mather's still absent. moving on to correspondence. We have a Board of Ed. Course Education Quote Waivers Curriculum Associations. You know who that is?
It's the first piece of paper in your.
Mr. Chairman?
The conservation.
No actions required.
Okay, no action required. I like that. Yes.
That was the question.
Okay.
It's just a notification purpose.
It's a notification as required.
So it was written
by the order.
Well, it was written wrong on the agenda.
No, this is correspondence.
Pursuant to the bid ordinance.
Oh, I apologize. I said I was looking at a new business. My apologies. Thank you.
Okay, so number six, new business. Consider an act on forming ad hoc advisory committee for the Parks and Rec grant.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I propose that we create an ad hoc, I make a motion that we create an ad hoc advisory committee for the Parks and Recs grant, and that it be consistent, conveyed immediately, having two members of the Board of Selectmen, and have it the Parks and Rec director also be part of the ad hoc committee.
Tim Sadler seconds the motion.
Can we add our buildings and grounds?
I would amend my motion to also add the director of buildings and grounds.
So
that would make a committee of four.
The title is townwide facilities director.
Thank you, townwide facilities director.
Okay, Tim Sadler seconded the motion.
So,
is there any discussion?
I have a question. I thought we talked about including community members in the committee when we talked about this last time.
We have a call out there for the community to respond to HR with any discussion, and wasn't it called for tonight?
Mr. Chairman, as I recall, we did discuss this, and I suggested that we literally invite the public to participate in these committees. We make a notification through all the various areas we utilize so that they can come and not just sit there, but can participate with the subcommittee in conversation back and forth. That was, we felt, I think at that time we discussed it, a way of getting some input from just anyone who is truly concerned about this and has some ideas they'd like to share with us. And this way you can
not just share it, but you can enter into the conversation.
I thought quite a bit about that particular part of this. And there's so many people, I think, that have an interest in it, that it'd be hard to pick and choose somebody from here, somebody column A, column B, yeah, column C. And then how big does the committee get? If the committee is small, it can move quickly, it can get out, it can get the information, and it can come back and have, I think, a response for the board. And that's an important thing to get action on this pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just hope that there will be really good notices sent out to the public that they are invited to these meetings. The same kind of notices that the actual committee members will get, but like the Bulletin, I like how there's the coffee and conversation, but then if you didn't scroll down, you'd miss that little notice that said, oh, and by the way, there's a $250,000 grant coming in. You know, I thought it was like a secondary thought. I think the public has to be, you have to really put it in their face.
And put it as a title.
Big, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Title of the email, big font, the sole subject matter of that email, not a small secondary paragraph.
Yep.
So I just think that's something that has to be communicated to whoever's doing our messaging, because otherwise we're not going to get the public out. Some people might
have a coffee and conversation for this board to meet with the public.
Or call it a subcommittee meeting or whatever.
Right, but subcommittee, just, right.
Yep.
We already have a call out for requests and suggestions.
And we've been getting them regularly.
Great.
Right.
Good. But it's a
public meeting, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
We'll just have it at a time when the public can get here.
Unlike a lot of subcommittees, you know, the public is not particularly invited to join a conversation. This is different. That was the whole concept of forming this subcommittee.
If you let me know when the meeting is, I will make sure it's on social media.
Good.
At all.
Go on. Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
6 yes, 1 absent. Consider and possibly act on non-union pay raises.
Do you need to populate that?
I think we need to pick the two BOF members.
Oh.
That would be at the decision of the first selectman. He appoints committee members.
Does somebody have a preference? Tim, we know. Yeah.
You don't want to?
Big part guy.
Okay. I'll participate.
I can take the part as a Democrat.
Here we go.
Unfortunately, I'm in it no matter what. So,
I'll serve.
Thank you.
Okay. Consider an act. What's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Consider an act possibly on non-union pay raises. We all discussed these raises before.
I'm sorry. Did you just appoint members to the?
Yes.
Tim Sadler and Gwen Marion.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I can't hear you guys that well today. I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
okay. So, I apologize.
I don't know where it is.
Hmm.
We'll speak up.
Yes. The cleaning lady took it.
Thank you.
So there's a list of all the current increases for all the town non-union people. Is there a motion to?
I have a question.
Yeah.
This is
a motion on the table to have a discussion.
Well, you're right.
I make a motion that we accept the presented wage, non-union pay wage increases.
Sadler seconds.
Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Ready.
I'm not quite sure if I truly understand the time frame. Is this a retroactive?
The suggestion would be retroactive to July 1st.
Thank you. That's what I, and then
You would.
Then it'd be the minimum wage increase is what the state mandate is as of January 1st. That's what that
it will go up. It will go up from the current wage of $16.35 an hour to $16.94 an hour as of January 1st. Okay.
And so are we? We're just rounding.
We're rounding to 17.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like an amended motion to say that it is retroactive, Mr. Rupert?
The motion should indicate that if that is something the Board of Selectmen is willing to consider.
So that would be from July 1st
of this year,
2025.
Because these were what went in the budget.
Correct.
Yeah, that's my question. Go ahead.
I don't remember talking about raises for the
selectmen. Either. I don't either.
We did.
About during the budget workshops where we agreed on the budget. That's where it would have been reflected. I don't think it was we budgeted for increases for the selectmen.
We did.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would amend the motion to make this retroactive to July 1st, 2025. July 1st.
Yes, you did. Yeah. And
Sadler second.
10 seconds. Any additional discussion?
Just for clarification. Yeah. So everything that's shown on here is reflected in the budget that was just approved. So there's nothing new. There's nothing higher in here
that's accurate.
Okay.
How do we budget for market rate and as needed for the snowplow drivers?
Mm-hmm. So we haven't needed a snowplow driver some years. So we would hire somebody at what is going rate at that time if we needed someone.
Got it. Thank you.
So we actually this one's jumping out at me, the assessor 1.75. I don't know why I'm not remembering the discussion on some of these.
So that was not one we discussed specifically. She had more than that in her budget, but if you recall that the person that is in that position is a shared position with the town of Willington,
mm-hmm.
and based on performance, that is what we agreed on.
We meaning
you and the other town?
Myself and the first selectman of the town of Willington.
Understood.
And the recreation director that's the increase.
That's the increase.
Yes, we're not paying for just $3,000.
That's correct.
So the board talked about an increase of 3% to the administrative assistant, the town administrator.
That would be.
Doesn't ring a bell to me either.
So again, I don't think we talked about every single one of these individuals individually. But her employment letter basically has her going by the union contract for the non-supervisors, and that is what is slated for that group for a raise if it's accepted.
I feel like there was a meeting with a subcommittee, like not last year but the year before, where she was given a dollar raise. Wasn't that like from? I remember specifically because it was about the location of her office and discretion, et cetera.
That is accurate.
So she has a contract where there's a built-in.
She doesn't have a contract. She has a letter of employment.
So a letter of employment that says that whatever the union you just mentioned gets, she will also get?
That is the guideline. That's correct.
Well, can you explain the reasoning behind why that's done when the Board of Selectmen has to vote on increases every year? Like, why are we making promises if in the letters, if like we could in theory vote for something different? Like, that seems a little bit
it's a guideline.
Okay.
It's not a given.
I'd be interested to see how that language is written as a guideline, because I've never heard of like a guideline in a employment letter.
It's also tied to performance.
Okay. This is like you may?
Correct.
And do you do her performance reviews?
Yes.
Okay. I think the selectmen are supposed to be hearing the results of the reviews that you give at some point.
We can do that anytime. They're all done.
But okay, I mean, under the charter, that is the procedure. I thought there should be a standard time at which we would get a report from you about. I think all the department heads are you review all the department heads.
That's correct.
So okay, so I think it would be good for us to hear all of that, all of those reports.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, you know, those reports are available for members to have, and I don't think they're particularly
open
discussion here. There's an issue, we have an issue, but if you have a concern, as we always have in the past, we just simply go to the administrative officer. I'd like to see what the person, what the review is, and you will, you've always been able to receive it. And as far as procedural on giving non-union personnel similar wage increases as the union personnel, that's not a written policy, but we have done that for the last 20 years. Why do you do that? Because you don't want your non-union personnel to feel that they're any lesser than the union personnel, or frankly, any better, just because they're not part of the union. And that's really the major factor. You don't want to create
animosity.
Well, yeah.
But there are other parity issues across the town.
True. I mean, that's true. But when you ask for a basis, that was the reasoning for it.
Right.
And within that, there's always been modifications. One of the things way back, there were disparities for the various positions, and over a period of time, this board has adjusted their wages. A wage increase, if everybody had 2%, this other person may have gotten 3.5%, just to bring that. Whatever that person was doing, that position equal to other positions in the town of the same character, same designation.
Right.
We've done, and I think we've even done that, tweaked it a little bit ourselves. But we're there now, I think, pretty much so. And when that comes up, that's a one or two times issue. I'm sure this board and any other future board is going to deal with it. Other than that, I kind of think it's certainly within our budget, and I think they're realistic numbers. I'm in favor of just moving forward just as they currently exist.
Any additional discussions?
I just also want to say I'm not comfortable voting a raise for myself. So I'm going to, unless we can separate out the selectmen raises from the others, I'll just abstain from that vote.
Yeah, I do feel like there was a meeting where we said we were not giving ourselves raises. I don't know why I feel like we had that. Not part of this meeting, but I feel like another meeting where it came up. But yeah,
I came up as a topic of conversation, but it was not voted on.
No. Yeah, I know it wasn't voted on.
So are we amending our
motion?
No. So all in favor? Aye. That's 5 yes. Are you abstaining or are you voting no?
I'm abstaining.
Okay, Gwen's abstaining and Mather's absent. So, consider an act on accounts payable.
The chairman.
Unfortunately, accounts payable came in after, and it's on your phones.
Oh, we don't. I didn't.
It's not sent here.
I did go for it.
It's not in that.
You want to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, for topic of discussion, I will make the motion that we accept the accounts payable and the total at the bottom of the document says $745,654.66.
There a second?
Sadler seconds.
Any discussion?
Casey, were you able to hear the number?
Casey?
She nodded yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have a copy of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes, one absent. Consider an act on budget transfers.
Are over the 2,000 mark.
I think there were a couple in there.
But the first one is from the library. It's a transfer of $1,800 in category of office supplies and the category of technical services. And it says constant contract payment and copier contract overs signed by the director. You want a motion, Mr. Rupert?
Motion on that one?
No, we don't need a motion on that.
And the second one is only for $400. It's the inland wetlands category from regular payroll to the category of official and administrative services. And it was approved by Mr. Rupert and to cover the board clerk.
Is that the third one?
Third ones.
The third one is from the Conservation Commission for $125 from the regular payroll, the Office of Administrative Services. And that's also to pay for the board clerk, approved by Mr. Rupert.
Do you have questions if I can ask?
Sure.
So are these transfers for this fiscal year or last fiscal year? So the library is already over on the copier contract and we're only a quarter of the way through the year, or are these anticipatory transfers? We don't do that.
We were not anticipated.
So these are current overages. We're over budget for all three of these things already.
Oh, no. So the library is over budget for the copier contract. The other two are because we have a 1099 employee doing the minutes for those boards and commissions, and the money was in a payroll account, not in an account. So we had to move the money out of payroll into, and we did this a few times last year.
Yes, okay. All right, got it. I can't believe we're already over the, I mean, we knew I brought this up a couple months ago about this copier contract, I think the library contract in general, but that's concerning at 3 months in. So I think we're going to, I mean, I won't be here, but I'm going to need to take a look at the library budget next year.
Or they have to charge more for copies.
It's not just those copies, right? It's copies that, yeah.
It's copies that staff make as well.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so we didn't need a motion. Any other discussion on those? Number seven, ongoing business. Follow-up discussion about speed cameras on 384.
I think we included the documentation from Connecticut DOT and Rob Eloise at Prague. And basically what they've said is, you know, they're not ruling it out in perpetuity, but at this time the state is not willing or able, because they don't have they haven't studied it enough to be able to put speed cameras in locations like we've asked them to consider.
So no is the answer on that for the moment.
Yeah, I know that.
Approval, what's that?
Do we expect to be?
Oh, we asked. We were requested to ask, so we did. Number eight, approval of minutes. Start with the September 2nd.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the minutes of the Board of Selectmen's meeting from 9 to 25.
Is there a second?
I would second. Sorry.
Second. Any discussion?
There is a page missing.
Is it a two-sided page?
No.
Nope. I bought it online.
Yeah, it must be posted. But...
Well, I guess we've got to bypass those minutes, or?
Mr. Chairman, I would withdraw my motion. If Mr. Sadler would withdraw a second.
Second.
And I would make a motion that we table these minutes until our next meeting.
Okay.
I need a
vote.
Seconded.
Yeah.
And a motion to table is not debatable.
Okay. It's tabled. Next.
No, yet.
Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Six yes, one absent. September 9th.
Mr. Chairman, from Casey, we have the minutes for the September 9th, 2025 meeting of the Board of Selectmen AP meeting. I'm sorry, it's a regular meeting. I'll make a motion to approve it.
Who was AP?
Is there a second?
Who's AP?
AP, but it's not considered regular.
House payable. Is there a second?
Second. Fine.
Any discussion? Yes.
Yeah, David Coles pointed out to me today that, Rodney, you're listed as being absent, but then you make a bunch of different votes that further on in that meeting.
How did you do that?
So you were either there or, yeah, so I'm not sure. Were you there on September 9th?
I'm sure it was, yeah.
Okay, so then that should be.
Okay, you got that, Casey?
Yes. So I marked him as absent. I need to put him as present, correct?
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I could think of worse things. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes, one absent.
Chairman, we also have the minutes before us for September 23rd, 2025, for an AP meeting, regular meeting. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes.
I'll second that. Bob Morris seconds.
Is there any discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Six yes.
Abstain.
Five yes, one abstain. Tim Sadler and one absent. Mather Clark. Moving on, reports and updates. Is there any questions on reports and updates? Hearing none. Am I hearing none? So we move on to 10, the town administrator's report.
Land use activity.
We have a big old list of.
I probably could have made it two pages. It's been a very, very busy month since we talked to us. But do you have any questions on anything that we've included in the report for this month?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Go ahead.
The fourth bullet, working on contract with STV for the facility study, just wondering what the timeline for getting that done is. And the goal of my question is to go behind my question is the outcome of that facility study then will determine how the proceeding on the town hall facilities study, the town hall, conceptual design process. So we wanted to hold off on that until this was done.
Yep.
So we
sent the contract over to the town attorney for review. I got his comments back, immediately sent them to STV. I got STV's comments back late last week. We should be finalizing that contract this week.
Okay, good.
They were minimal comments.
And what's their timeline for completion?
They're working on it.
They're already doing legwork, so
okay.
I don't think it'll be that long.
Thank you. My only other question is second to last bullet. We met with the owner of the cider mill property to discuss obstacles that exist that we're collectively working on to permit residential development of the parcel. So this is the first that I had heard of that parcel is being considered for residential use. I was a little disappointed to hear that. I don't know any details about it, but that's I believe it's a zoned business property and we really need business in town. So I would much rather see a business encouraged to be there instead of a residential. So I'd just like to know some of the thinking behind why encouraging residential development at that property.
So we're trying to encourage development, and from the owner's perspective, there is no opportunity for business development on that parcel. Back in the mid 2000s, well, probably around 2008, He actually had a proposal from Big Y to put a store there as an anchor store. He was going to build several things in there, but it was a downturn in the economy. Big Y said, sorry, we're not under contract, we're not building. Those opportunities are not there from his perspective as a developer. Right now, what is available for development is residential properties. So we're working with him. And I think Patrice has shared with you in the past in her reports that we worked very hard on getting the site on Connecticut Site Finder. The only interest it's generating is for residential development. Right. We also have that age-old issue of housing shortage. We have a lack of attainable housing in this community, and the hope is that we can resolve some of those problems through appropriate development. And there's, he hasn't given up on the idea of having some commercial component to the property, but the people have to be there to use the services that would be there.
And also maybe bring in some kids for the school.
And a limiting factor for us is the fact that we don't have city water. That hampers both commercial and residential development.
Yes.
I just want to make sure I'm thinking of the right. This is the one next to 3J's?
Yes.
Across the
street. And how? Yeah. And how big is it?
The piece on the Manchester side of Cider Mill is about 26 or 27 acres.
It's significant.
So some of it falls in Manchester and some of it...
It's on the Manchester side of Cider Mill Road.
He
also owns a piece on the 3J side.
Oh, okay.
Behind 3J's.
Got it.
He owns a piece on both sides.
So you said 26 acres?
I want to say it's 26 or 27 acres from memory.
But it's activity, which is kind of a plus. And
traffic,
though. Do you say no? Well, I don't know if traffic would be an issue down there. I think at the light.
If I may, since this is in my wheelhouse.
Yes.
That in today's market is, and today, I don't mean just today, I mean in the next 4 or 5 years, this is where any significant commercial growth is going to be. And because it deals with more than one issue, as Jim kind of pointed out. It deals with several issues in a community this size where land's expensive, it's difficult to build even starter homes. This gives an opportunity to look at a way of providing for the residents in this town and actually allow the town to grow in a reasonable and level. With a type of housing that is currently the biggest need out there. And if you look at the demographics of, if you will, new apartment buildings going up or condominiums going up, what it was 20 years ago is not what it is today. What's being built today, the starting rent is around $2,000, $2,500 a month. So it's a type of housing, and that's affordable. I mean, I hate to say the word, but well, it's almost. But that's the market. That's market housing today. So you're and where's the demand from? Demand for this is really from a demographic of, let's say, 28 to 45 age group. That's a huge. And up and down.
And elderly.
And what?
Elderly.
Well, yeah.
Sorry,
I
shouldn't say elderly. 62 and older. Thank I'm sorry.
That's elderly? Oh,
sorry.
Wow.
Don't worry about it, Gwen.
Good job.
But
55 and older, if you.
So that's the interest. And that interest that interest has been there for quite some time. And I mean, it's not an easy thing to do because we have zoning to deal with. It's a delicate issue and one that really, and I think that's why the staff is really working on it with a developer to say, okay, what it is that you want and what is it that we want and is there a meeting of the minds? And it's not easy.
I mean, in theory, like, well, I'm thinking of like the trail runs of Vernon, right, where it's a development, but they also then have a commercial as well. They have a daycare. I'm sorry, they have kindergarten, right. Right? Like, is there the potential for doing something like that where you can maybe get both? I mean, I'm in favor of housing, but I am really hoping that whoever's working on this is pushing for some percentage of these units to be affordable. I mean, as a non-board member, I would be in the audience every meeting if it doesn't have
affordability. So the issue with that, and this is one of my pet peeves,
yes,
is that, you know, we have a requirement in the Connecticut General Statutes to include affordable housing in developments, but yet we give developers an opportunity to pay their way out of providing that.
So they can put $100,000.
Right. They can negotiate with the town to pay their way out of it.
Well, let me
touch that. Doesn't mean we have to agree to it.
I've been in touch with the executive director at OCA, and I need to re-engage her, but she works with developers who do specifically affordable housing, because there's plenty of bond money through the state right now sitting there for affordable housing developments if developers are willing to go through the DOH processes. So we really need to be trying to hopefully recruit and engage those types of developers, because it is a very niche, and you're not going to get a regular developer doing affordable housing. So we have to try and get them to come to us. I'll reach back out.
Thank you. That'll be helpful.
And then my comments on that is, I've always felt that that's just another example of segregated housing. If you're going to, wait, let me finish my comments. And I don't mean by racial or anything else, economically. When you do a development of this size, it should have all three.
Yes.
A mix.
A percentage. Yeah, yes.
A percentage of that. And not just all one. I thought that's what you're suggesting. Oh,
no.
I thought that you were going to. Wait a minute.
No, a percentage
of affordable. Well, because it worked. Because that's what you want. You want a mixed economic culture and everything.
The underwriting doesn't typically work for fully affordable either.
Like, if we would like to add this as an agenda item some evening, it might be a very interesting conversation. But
no, I'm sorry, I don't mean to go off.
Yeah, that was.
Sorry.
Okay.
Those were my two questions. Thank you.
Yep.
I do have information. I see that Mr. Rupert had said he's meeting with Eric Anderson from Andover, and he has been offered an employment opportunity elsewhere. Posted this evening. He will be the select board from Dalton, Massachusetts, has hired Eric Anderson.
Okay.
And what was his role in Andover again?
Town administrator.
Town administrator. Okay.
I'll miss working with Eric.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Okay. He was.
Best wishes.
Okay. Is there any other?
One more question.
Yes.
Mr. Rupert, regarding the Herrick Park soccer fields, the note says working on wetlands permit. Is that a prerequisite to going to bid? And are there any other prerequisites?
So I will tell you the last opportunity we had to go before the Wetlands Commission for a town project, we ended up expending an additional almost $2,000 on plan changes. So the plans are done. They're ready to go to the state.
I mean, we went to them and they requested changes.
They requested changes. So the decision, you know, Joe Dillon and I had this discussion, and we made the decision that before we send plans that might change as a result of a meeting with the Wetlands Commission, we should probably have the meeting with the Wetlands Commission. So that we intend to have that to the Wetlands Commission in the month of October at their regular meeting. And I am pushing Nathan L. Jacobs and Associates, and they're responding appropriately so far. We're going to try to get at least one of our other projects ready to go to that Wetlands Commission meeting at the same time. And that would be the community septic system. The Heritage Farm Trail, we are still waiting for DOT's feedback. So we're in a holding pattern on that one to some degree.
Are there any other prerequisites to the bid process?
Well, the various state agencies will have to review those documents and see if they have any changes. But once they've done theirs, we'll be able to finalize the bid specs and put it out to bid.
Thank you.
Yes.
If I might ask, is the Maury Road Basin project finally finished?
No. The basin is done. We had, based on our recent review, we had some comments for the contractor. The contractor literally has to come back and spend about 2 hours of work, but we're holding a significant amount of money.
So we're getting close.
So we're, yeah. I mean, it's really, really minor. It has to do with the swale between the two properties on Laurie Road. It wasn't finely graded enough for either neighbor to mow it properly. So that really was the last comment. The basin itself is completed. We've made some additional changes to it since then. And the town engineer will be looking at that before the week is over to make sure he's comfortable with those changes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes.
I have a question on Patrice's thing, which I'm assuming was provided as part of your report, Jim.
It's a separate item on the agenda.
Oh, is it?
I think it's next. So if we're done on my report, we can probably go to that.
Oh, is that the land?
Land use,
oh, sorry.
Activity? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I thought it was soon. So bottom of the first page, she attended a meeting to discuss the legislative bill 5002. My question is, did she or does she take a stance on our behalf?
No.
No,
and I can't either.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because we hadn't discussed whether we had a stance or not. No. And I have a feeling that this board would be very divided. So I just wanted to make sure that if a, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Patrice and I, 5002 is certainly a hot button.
It is.
Of opinion, I guess. And it, you know, draws emotion on both sides of the issue, I guess.
Correct.
And, you know, as staff members, unless we are directed to take a position on something,
okay. We
can't. So when we get calls from Capital Region Council of Governments or costs, I can't really respond, right? I mean, if they're asking us to reach out to our legislators and oppose something, I can't really do that.
I do think that when there are like huge bills, like this is a major bill that's impacting the state, and I think it might make sense to maybe bring bills like that to the full board for discussion so that you can potentially take a stance if we vote on it and come to an agreement.
I think I made everybody aware of it through an email.
There were several bills that went around.
I think this one was one that I flagged as important enough that I had sent out.
But in order
for me to take a position, you know, to present, you know, from the board's perspective, the board would have to vote.
Yep. And this is one that's quite frankly not going to die. Like, it didn't pass now. I don't think they're going into special session. It passed. I left. It passed. The governor vetoed it. We're not, I don't believe, going into special session.
It does not look like special session.
But it will probably come up again next year. And so this may be something that you might want to put on an agenda for future discussion by the future boards.
Yes, because it's a horrible incursion into town property.
And I think it's the best thing since
I don't. I understand that, but I thought I only have a few days left to get my comments in on these. So
well, right. You and me both. So
you guys can meet for
the last one. Moving on.
All right. Any other questions on the land use activity?
No.
So number 11 is.
I move that we move into executive session.
Executive session. Do we want to take a moment break and we got to empty
out the audience. Rupert into the executive session.
And we have to shut off the screen.
Is that the motion, Mr. Rupert is involved?
And we have to say what we're going to executive session for, right?
The unity contract.
Oh, just
and continuity plan.
Thank you for coming. You want to come? You want us to go get you when we're done?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming.
Bye, David.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Tom. Bye, Tom.
David.
Hey, Casey, I will make a note of what time we come out of executive session, and there may be one action that the board takes. So I will get you that by email.
Okay.
So you don't have to hang around. You don't have to come back.
Okay, so is the motion on both the items, or did she just say union contracts?
The union contracts and continuity planning for the finance director.
Okay, got it.
And I'll second it if nobody.
Yeah,
and
second.
Amanda seconded it. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody voting?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now we're voting. Thank you.
All in favor.
All right.
Into executive session at 7.
Thank you.
Thanks, Case.
Appreciate your assistance. Have a good night.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Say goodnight to Jim.
Bye, Jim.
Bye, Jim.
Bye, Jim.
But you can't really close it, right?
No, I can't close it.
You have to turn it back on.
I can close it.